We indeed thank you for being here tonight. We certainly do appreciate those that might be visiting. I really appreciate the folks that assemble here because they've had to put up with me for a few times now, and I appreciate that. And they came back again tonight to hear me, so I'm thankful for that. But hopefully we can gain something from the study of God's Word, and certainly as every night and Sunday as well. Beautiful songs and very encouraging, and certainly lifts us up. And I love it because it, as a preacher, sometimes it's really good when the songs are good before you get up. So that even if you don't do that well, people maybe will just remember the songs, and that'll help. But do thank you so much for being here. Wanted to mention that Lindsay is not here tonight as well because a friend of hers just lost her father. Her mother unexpectedly, and she had just lost her dad in 2020, and that's devastating for someone that's only around 15 years old that I don't really know. I'd ask her what's going to happen. She doesn't really know, so hopefully she can be of some encouragement to them. Really appreciate the folks here, and I want to thank you again for having us with you since Sunday. On Sunday, I started talking about understanding God. And I'm mentioning this all the time because these sermons, I'm trying to get us to think in maybe a little bit different way. And it's difficult, as I talked about. We cannot fully understand God, but He's certainly given us an insight into Him, both through His creation and through the Word. And then I talked about the one aspect of God. There's multiple ones, but one of the ones that's very important to us is His grace and how important that is. And I used an example of David and Mephibosheth from the Old Testament. And then I talked about how I would like to be remembered, and because of God's grace, how do I respond with my faith? Do I want to be remembered at the end of this life as being someone who could make things or someone that had a great faith in God? And I much prefer the latter. And then last night we talked about how strong is my faith, and we tested it against some folks in the Bible, and we had some examples of some good, some bad, and then we find that really strong people sometimes have their moment of weakness in their faith, and we do as well, and how we need to be very careful with how we live our lives so that we can be strengthened in our faith. Tonight we're going to talk about increase our faith. This was an interesting thing that the apostle said, and in Luke 17, 1 through 10, he said to his disciples that it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said, increase our faith. So the Lord said, well, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all of these things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. Mike Sunday morning talked about David and how David had written about how he wanted God to take revenge on his enemies. And he made a comment that he wasn't saying, I'm going to do it, but I'm asking you to do it. And we leave that in the hands of God. When it comes to our relationship with God, God looks at us, as was in the prayer, higher than servants. But we need to look at ourselves as just being servants because of our position before Him. The passage seems to be kind of a paradox. All of it does.
When you start at the very beginning, he says it's impossible that no offenses would come. In other words, it's going to be impossible that other people are not going to live their lives in such a way that at times they may cause other people to sin. That's what an offense is. He's not talking about us being offensive to people. He's talking about us doing things that would hurt other people, that would be sinful. He then tells them they needed to forgive their brother if, he says, I repent, even if it's 7 times in one day. Now, he's building up to something that he's going to continue to teach them, but this is a very important lesson for them and us. So they make the statement, which seems kind of odd, increase our faith. Because all he said to them is, if your brother comes to you 7 times in one day, and he says to you, I repent for the things I've done against you, then you forgive him every time. Why does that require faith? Why would they need their faith increased to forgive a brother or sister that sins against them? We're starting to learn something very important about this aspect of forgiveness and how important it is. And he's trying to get it on our level so that we can understand a higher level than this. And then why would Jesus tell them that story about the master and the servant? It doesn't seem, if you just read through it, that it fits what he's talking about. But it fits perfectly, as always, with Christ. So let's get to this point first. What's so difficult about forgiving? All of us are just standing willing all the time, aren't we? We never, ever remember anything that anybody's ever done against us. About the only people that wouldn't are people who've lost their memory. One of our problems in life is that we do remember things. And lots of times, if we don't watch it, we remember it against them. We will hold things. I don't know why it's a human trait, but it is. Christ had taught them many times on forgiving. I mean, he would teach them throughout his whole ministry, wouldn't he? Matthew 6, 9 through 15, he said, this is the way to pray. So he taught them a prayer. In the prayer, we heard this so many times, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we start to understand what he was talking about debts here. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We see it's contingent upon something. And sometimes we say that in prayers, forgive me as I'm willing to forgive others. Sometimes we don't want to say that in our prayer because we're thinking about something we shouldn't be. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Well, he said in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, he tells that story about the debts. And I talked about this in a previous lesson a little bit too, that the one that owed the most money to his master was forgiven. He had a servant who owed him much, much less, and he wouldn't forgive him. And finally, the head, a king, or the head of all of them, said, that's not going to work. If you won't do it for him, I won't you. So at the end of this, he said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Well, that's a little bit different, isn't it? That means it's on God's terms now. I can hide it from you if I'm holding something against you, but I cannot hide that from God if I'm not willing to forgive. In Luke 6, 37 and 38, he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So we're starting to understand a principle here. It goes along with what he had told them in the Old Testament, hand for hand, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And God's saying, that's the way I'll treat you, is how you treat your fellow man. Because see, I can't do anything for God. I can just be a servant of His and do the best I can in this life. We will forgive if we expect God to forgive us. Paul taught about it as well in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. An attitude of forgiveness. Why do we struggle with it? What is it about us that it just makes it so difficult? Well, I will argue that the biggest thing seems to be we think we deserve it. Well, we've earned this. God should forgive me. His Son died for me. Not so sure about you. In Ezekiel 18, this has been a discussion for years and years, hasn't it? In Ezekiel 18, they had a problem. They would talk to them about, first of all, you're punishing us for what our parents did. Then they would get into this, we don't understand. You have this person, and Ezekiel's explaining it to them. You have a person who's been doing very well. They've been following God's commands. They haven't been doing anything wrong. And all of a sudden they quit doing that and they're not doing it anymore. And, well, God's going to turn away from them. Then you have a person who hasn't done really well and done multiple things. And that person then turns back to God and God accepts it. Well, they had a problem with that. They couldn't stand the thought of Him taking someone back that they knew was bad. We see that in the New Testament, don't we? With a woman who had committed adultery. Can't do it. No forgiveness. Well, He said in verse 25, yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair? You're condemning me because of my forgiveness. He stands always ready to forgive. In reality, I'll go ahead and say it, 70 times I can go to Him today, and 70 times He'll forgive me. 490 times I can go before Him today, and 490 He'll forgive. 1,000 times I can go before God today, and every time He'll forgive, if I truly, in my mind, turn away from what I'm doing. So why wouldn't we do the same thing for someone else? Well, maybe we don't love as we should. If we had the love He did for us, and we sing about, I mean, who did He give for us? His Son. His Son died on the cross, it was said in the prayer tonight. 1 John 4, 20 and 21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment we have for him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Isn't that what all the laws of God are hinged upon? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbors thyself. Every other law revolves around those two. How do we show our love for God? It's how we treat others. And He knows that. And so He wants us to be above it all. He said in this passage that if they, and I said this from another verse where He uses the same thing about you can move mountains. As small as the grain of a mustard seed. Hebrews 11, verse 6, small. We start small. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must start out with believing that He is, and then that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's the basis of faith. I start with that, and then I work up from that. And I put this on the board last night, or on the PowerPoint, mustard seed. It's just tiny. And yet, certain mustard seeds will grow into something big, as we'll see, because a small mustard seed develops into a large plant. If I never develop from that seed, then I'm not going to get much better. But as my development grows, if I can just start with that and acknowledge God and turn to Him and seek Him and then see what He wants me to do, then as Christ put it in Luke 13, 18 and 19, talking about the kingdom of heaven, what shall I compare it? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And they actually can grow to this size. Now, that's not all of them, but some of them can. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Now, it's not a big tree. It's not a huge tree, but it's a tree. Or a giant shrub, whichever way you want to look at it. A mature faith realizes the need to forgive. We have to come to maturity. We start with that grain, and our faith grows in God, we're going to accomplish a lot in our forgiveness. We need to have that complete faith and confidence in God to be able to forgive. And this is why. Why does it take that kind of faith to forgive another? Well, I've talked to I don't know how many people in my life about their faith. And I get people calling me sometimes. Just had a man calling me the other day, very concerned, wanting to know about sin, and he's a Christian, and you know, he doesn't even live in this state. And he was just talking about it, and he was struggling with it, and he's concerned, and I said, well, that's the problem. We're getting all of our faith in us. We're not to get it in God. Our faith has to be as Him, to His forgiveness. Because our thought process is, well, you know, I'm not like that. I'm struggling with forgiving someone. So will God really forgive me? Does He really forgive? I mean, I've asked Him, and this is what He said. He said, I have these thoughts over and over, and they're not correct. How many times is God going to forgive me for that? I said, every time. And you got to work on it. I said, you can't keep sinning. You got to get mature in it. But then where's everyone in this room? There's not a person in this room that is perfect in that. There's not a person in this room will ever be perfect in that. There's not a person in this room will be perfectly sinless. What we want to face God with, we want to be blameless. We want to have always acknowledged our sins to Him constantly and get His forgiveness and have our faith in Him to believe that He'll do it. Well, that's what Paul said. 1 Timothy 1:12-16, and I think Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. He knew what it was. He knew it wasn't him. He knew it was God's grace that had taken care of this situation for him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of which I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul wasn't proud of what he had done. But Paul was forgiven for what he had done. And what we need to understand is God did that. God took a man who had literally helped put people to death that were good people. And God forgave him because of his heart and his faith in God. And that's where we need to be. We need to understand that God will always, always, always forgive. How many times have you been going down the road and maybe something happens and you say something about the person who just cut you off, and then you turn to God and say, sorry about that. Not vulgar, but you maybe called him a name that wasn't very nice. Or maybe something else maybe just came to your mind. Or maybe you didn't study as much as you did today or as you should have. Or maybe you didn't pray to God as much as you should. That's sin. So what do we do about that? Well, we just constantly ask God's forgiveness. And you know what he says? His blood continually will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we can accept that fact, then we need to turn around and understand about ourselves. We must believe that God will forgive us. Colossians 2:11-13, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Do you mean that just submitting to the act of baptism does that? Yes, it does. If, and only if, I have faith. If I truly believe that God will do that, if I enter his operating room, And he circumcises my heart by cutting away all sin. He took care of it just like that because of Jesus Christ. And I need to believe that with all my heart. It is by the faith, as he said in the old King James, of the operation of God. He does the operating. I do the submitting. I have to have the faith. Why does it take that? Because we're not listening. We're just not listening to what God has to say about things. We don't fully listen and hear what he has to say. We think God will forgive us even if we won't forgive others. I'm around too many people and I know that's the case. They don't want to forgive. Mark 11, 25 and 26, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, I will say from the rest of the scriptures, he's not just talking about just going up to a person who's not penitent and saying to them, I just totally 100% forgive you. We might go up to him and say, I want your forgiveness. I want God to forgive you. I need you to be sorry for what you did. That's what he says in the other passage. Rebuke him. And if he says, I repent, then forgive him. That's our way we work with God as well. And then we just don't esteem others better than ourselves. In Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. If I look at others as being better than me, in the sense of I want to do as much as I can for them, then I can understand that. So the key to this is found in this story, which is a very difficult story. It's a story about service. It's a story about working for someone. In Luke 17, 7 through 10, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you've done all of those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Why the story? Because service to the master is a living sacrifice. It's where I fully give of myself. It's where he's first, I put everything first to him. Everything else is second to everyone else and everything else. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It requires fully serving, not partially, not just a little bit. When this servant came in from the field, he's 100% the servant. He's doing what the master says. He's trying his best to do exactly what the master says. Service to the master will not allow us to have that lust or pride that gets in the way. And that's exactly what it is a lot of times about forgiveness, isn't it? And forgiving someone, it's our pride. I got hurt. That person did that to me. Do you know what they did to me 10 years ago? 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and this is a zinger, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Service to the master makes us humble. In James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. When the servant came in, the master finally said, now you can get your rest. But he had to be humble before the master. 1 Peter 5:5 through 6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Let Him tell you when. Let Him do the exalting. I don't need to be patting myself on the back thinking I'm something, and don't treat me that way. Service to our Master means we must serve others. I hope that I quote Debbie Cornett right. We had a conversation last night, and I'm going to try to do this right. If I don't, you can go to her, and it was so beautiful. I thought, wow, it just so fits the lesson. She said, you know, people look at the situation with Landon, and we've had him for 20 years. And people look at that as being such a burden. And she said, it's just the opposite. She said, I wished everyone had a child that has needs. Because she said, you know what grows in you? As you serve, you love more. And I thought, wow, how true that is. The more we serve, the more we love. And the point of this is, when we're serving others, we understand that. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this in Acts 20:35 that you must support the weak. Any person that sins against me, or at any moment I sin against someone else, it's a weakness. And remember the words of the Lord of Jesus Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus, that He who said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now the principle here is, I know He's talking about multiple things, but it's always more blessed to give than receive. For us to be able to do something good for someone else will come back to bless us. It is an amazing thing what she said, how it grows in us and makes us understand and know love even better. And so we emulate the one who died for us. In 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He says, it's beyond just forgiving. It's loving them that you'll give everything you can for someone else. You look at this person who comes to you humbly and says, I'm sorry. Now, being a married person, you'd assume we'd have this down pat, wouldn't we? We would understand this very well. How many times do we say to our spouse, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And sometimes the answer comes back, well, are you sure? You see, if we know that. But you know why we will forgive our spouse? Because we love them. We love them, and we're willing to serve them. We're willing to do whatever it takes to make their life better. Regardless of what it is, we'll do whatever it takes if we love them. And the more we do, the more we love. And the more we serve, the more we love. There's a principle involved in John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. A servant is not greater than his master. Jesus didn't just say these things. Jesus lived these things. He proved it to everyone. Duty, obligation produces faith. He said this, Paul said this in Philippians 2:17, yes, that if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Service to our Master is a living sacrifice. It won't let pride get in our way or lust. It makes us humble. It means we're willing to serve others in whatever capacity we can. And the more we serve others, the more we'll be willing to immediately forgive them. It increases our love for Him and others. A principle is involved that does that. So if we fully understand what Christ did for us, it will not be so difficult, will it, to forgive others, if we fully understand it. I don't. It's beyond my ability to understand. I try. It is amazing what He did for us. What did He do? Well, like in John 13, He washed them, their feet. And he said, if I, your master, will do this, then that's the way you need to treat others. There's nothing more humble than this, ever. Luke 23:34, he is on the cross. He easily had the power to kill everyone there. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, it was going to be conditional. His grace was there extended, but their faith had to step in to accept it and do what he wanted them to do. He forgave through his sacrifice, and his body was that sacrifice for sins as the blood came out of it. In 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He set the standard for forgiving. So what this is all about is Jesus trying to teach them before it ever happens about forgiveness and the importance of that attitude that he had, and he wanted them to emulate him and perfectly follow him and do what he said and forgive. Have you ever heard this? I've forgiven them, but I don't trust them. I don't know what it is. I don't know why we struggle other than we need faith. We need to understand the immense importance of forgiveness. To try and understand, we turn to God and his forgiveness. But when it comes to increasing our faith, we all want that easy solution. We don't want to spend the time looking and seeing what he did and how he... We just want him to increase our faith. We need want someone else to do it for us. In this case, the answer is kind of unexpected, but it's a perfect answer for what we need to do. So, as our service increases, so will our faith. As our faith increases, so will our willingness to forgive others. As our faith increases, so will our love for God and our neighbor. Faith causes us to accept God's forgiveness and from the heart forgive others. If there's any way we can assist you, we're going to stand and sing a song at this time. Thank you.